Tosh must have fallen. Maybe the woman slipped and fell. How do I know? What time did you get home from your golf outing? I'm not sure. Not exactly. About 6, more or less. And then? What do you mean? What did you do upon arriving home? I went upstairs, spoke briefly to my wife. We talked about going out later for drinks, for dinner. I had a quick shower, changed, if you want specifics, stretched out, turned on the screen. I was just relaxing, as many do on a Sunday evening, when I heard Tosh scream from downstairs. Did you and your wife argue? What? Of course not. Did you argue with Katiana Dubois? No, I barely know the woman. She's one of my sister-in-law's staff. I want to see my wife. I want to know what's happening with Tosh. She's in serious condition. She has some swelling of the brain and is in surgery. He went sheet white as Eve spoke. The doctors are confident she'll recover. Lieutenant, your partner's on her way back. Thank you, officer. Ask the detective with her to secure the house droid and question same. Yes, sir. Question the droid? Copley shouted. Question me? Question a fucking machine? My wife's having emergency brain surgery. You can't keep me here. She can. Rourke moved to block his exit. Yes, she can. Just stay out of my way, Copley warned, but backed up as he did so. I have rights. You can't keep me in this room. I'm not under arrest. I'm free to come and go as I damn well please. We can fix that, Eve decided, glanced over at an out-of-breath Peabody. Peabody, read Mr. Copley his rights. What are you talking about? You've all lost your minds. I'm leaving. He tried a charge across the room. Eve pivoted, but Rourke was faster and merely shot out his foot. It sent Copley on a face-first dive. Oops, Rourke said. Peabody restrained the suspect and read him his rights. John J. Copley, you're under arrest for suspicion of murder, for attempted murder, for assault on an officer. You have the right to remain silent, Peabody began. Then her voice was drowned out by Copley's raging. Give him to the female officer, Shelby. Have her and the other two officers transport him to Central, to a box. I'll be down to deal with him when we're done here. Let me give you a hand with that, Peabody. Rourke hauled Copley to his feet, and with Peabody taking the other side, Perp walked him out, raging still. Phew! McNabb stepped in. And I thought the Sky Mall was crazy town. The house droid's been shut down since 1630, LT. Shut down? Yeah, turned off. There's a secondary droid, but that one's been turned off since about noon. The main house droid reports Ms. Quigley ordered her to shut down, as she routinely does on Sundays when they aren't expecting company or entertaining. She reports no one coming or going after you and Rourke earlier today. No help from that quarter. Check the security cam, and let's make a copy of that. On it. She pulled out her comm, contacted dispatch. Dispatch, playback 911 call from this location made by Quigley Natasha at 1856. Acknowledged. One moment. No video recorded. Audio only. Playback commenced. 911, what is your emergency?
She's dead. I think she's dead. Oh, my God, Kate, it's...
Wait, please. Oh, God, this is Natasha Quigley at 18 Van Damme. I need to report a...
JJ, oh, JJ, something terrible happened.
JJ, what are you doing?
JJ, stop! Stop! Don't!
Eve heard a scream, a thud, pictured the link dropping to the ground. Then the recording stopped.
Playback complete.
Okay. Copy recording to my files.
Dallas and Peabody, along with Detective McNabb, currently on scene. Dallas and Peabody will transfer to Central to interview Copley John Jake, now charged with suspicion of murder and related charges.
Acknowledged.
Dallas out. Gotcha, she muttered.
Your suspect's on his way to Central, Rourke told her.
And he'll stew in it for a while. When we finish up here, we need to go by the hospital, check on Quigley. If she's awake, we'll get her statement. You can go home.
Why do you want to punish me?
She shook her head. Suit yourself. She walked out with him, joined Peabody.
I liked her, Peabody said. There was something likable about her.
Yeah, there was. Contact the sweepers, the morgue. Let's get started on getting her justice.
I was complaining, sort of, about working on a Vic who was an asshole.
Peabody looked back toward Katiana.
And now...
I know it. Eve crouched to study the broken link. Looks like it's been stomped on. She drops it. He comes at her, stomps on it. The vase is right there.
It sat on that table.
He grabs it, comes at her, stomps the phone, smacks her with it. Before she could ask, Rourke handed her an evidence bag. She bagged and sealed the phone. He drops the vase. Doesn't give her the second smack like Ziegler. Vase is big and heavy. It cracks, but it didn't break. Does he think smashing the phone erases the damn 911? Was he too wrought up, too far gone to think about it? Just attack. Just cover it all up. Then blame it all on a dead woman? He was upstairs, minding his own. Heard his wife scream, ran down. But there's no report, is there, that he called for help, for medicals, for the police?
She looked at Rourke as she marked the vase.
Nope. None. It took Shelby 2 minutes to get here, and took him another 2 to answer. Working on his story, getting himself under control. Not enough time to set up a fake break-in or burglary. He thinks he's got 2 dead women, until Shelby checks, gets a pulse. Now he's got to get to his wife, fix it somehow. Or run. But Shelby handled that, and then backup arrived. He can't push his way through 3 cops. He has to be outraged, the worried husband, the victim. She stood again. How it looks is, for some reason, and we'll need to talk to the sister. Katiana comes here. Copley lets her in. They come in here, argue. Maybe she knew something. Maybe he thought she knew something. He loses his temper, pushes her. She falls way wrong, and that's it. He barely has time to think. Look what she made him do. And in comes his wife. Sees the body. Calls 911. He couldn't have been in the room. Frowning, she turned a circle. If he'd been in, he'd never have let her call through. So he ran out. To get something, to hide something, to get a damn drink. But he had to have come back in at that point in the call when she said his name. She's ruining everything. He has to make her stop. Snaps, or is still snapped, grabs the vase, charges in. She turned again, studied the body again, with guilt and regret clawing at her. What did you know? How do you fit in?
Dallas. McNabb came in, passed her a disc. Got it copied. You can see the Vic come to the door. You can't see who let her in. You'll see for yourself, but to my eye, she looked upset, worried. Rushed in, talking fast.
No audio? No, no audio. Her eyes on Katiana, Eve slipped the disc into her pocket.
If you knew something, anything, why did you come here? Why didn't you come to me?
But it was too late for that question, she thought. Chapter 19. The burly SUV proved a good choice, since McNabb and Peabody needed to pile in. Eve ignored McNabb as he played with controls and options in the back, while she worked on her PPC. Katiana had parents. Divorced, mother, remarried, living in Brooklyn. Father also remarried, living in Phoenix, Arizona. One sibling, a sister, married, two children, in New Rochelle. She'd need to go to Brooklyn, do the notification. But that misery would come after she'd checked on Quigley. She needed to... Was that chocolate she smelled? She shifted around in her seat, narrowed her eyes at Peabody. What's that on your upper lip, detective? Hastily, Peabody swiped at it. A little whipped cream. It's hot chocolate. It's real hot chocolate. I couldn't help it. McNabb did it. Unabashed, McNabb grinned at her. Mini Auto Chef back here has a full beverage menu. Peabody's been jonesing for hot chocolate. Want some? Yes, Eve thought, but said, no. Ice squared accessories back here, he said to Rourke. The total. We do what we can, Rourke responded. You got your entertainment with vid, straight screen, tunes, books, full D&C capabilities, mapping, solo, duet, or full vehicle modes. Then there's... He probably knows what's loaded in this thing, Eve interrupted. Add in the eats and drinks, we could motor to Utah. Next time we plan to go to Utah, I'll let you know. Meanwhile, we're a little preoccupied here with murder. Yeah, about that. Got the security disc from the crime scene on here. His green eyes shifted from hers down to the screen while he took a contented glug of his own hot chocolate. We might be able to enhance and analyze the shadow of whoever opened the door for the Vic. It's a long shot, but you gotta try it. Lip reading programs running on the Vic. We've got a better chance at that. But her face angles away from the cam, and she puts her hand over her mouth once, so it's gonna be jumpy. Sometimes, Eve thought, she forgot he wasn't an idiot. Good, stay on it. Here's the play, she said to Peabody. We talk to Quigley, if possible. Get the details. Odds are slim she'd try to protect Copley at this point, but if she tries, we could run the 911 call for her. Push it. DB, spouse in the hospital, no break-in. A fleet of lawyers isn't going to loosen the noose. She glanced at McNabb. If we get lucky with the shadow ID, all the better. Confirm Copley opened the door to the Vic. It throws out his claim of being upstairs when this went down. In addition, we tie him into Ziegler. That'll take more, but we're going to do it. With Quigley's statement, we can let him sweat. The victim's mother lives in Brooklyn. We have to go, notify her. Man, 2 days less before Christmas. It's always hard, but this is just harder. She has a husband and a stepson living at home, another daughter in New York. That'll help some. The Vic may have talked to her about Ziegler, about Copley. We have to get whatever we can. We'll need to talk to the Schuberts again ASAP, and I want to check in at the morgue, give an official COD, get Morris's, I've already requested him, take on her. That's a long time sweating, Peabody said, as Rourke worked through the parking garage at the hospital. A long time for him to come up with the story, for the lawyers to shine it up. It's not gonna shine. Not when his wife tells us he attacked her. Not when she gives us a statement from her hospital bed. I get in the box with him, he's gonna break. I'm gonna break him. She would damn well break him, Eve thought as they piled out, walked to the hospital's main entrance. Lip reading doesn't give us much, Dallas. McNabb held up his PPC. It has her saying, need to talk, break, come in, break, I remembered. And that's it. Vic moved into the house, out of range. The shadow? Working it, but hell, Dallas, there isn't much there. Play it out, she told him. She crossed the colorful lobby with its busy food court, past a group of kids in school uniforms singing carols in front of a big tree, and arrowed in on a security guard. NYPSD. She held up her badge. Here's what I need you to do, and fast. I need the floor, the room, and the doctor in charge of Quigley, Natasha, brought in earlier this evening via ambulance with severe head trauma. I'm not supposed to access patient information without my supervisor's authorization. Right now, I'm your supervisor. Quigley, Natasha, now. If she dies before I get to her, I'm coming back for you. Yes, ma'am. He scrambled off. I hate that ma'am thing, but okay. Between McNabb and me, Rourke commented, we could have hacked that data for you in about the same amount of time. Would have been fun, too, McNabb said wistfully. Next time. Eve met the security guard halfway. She's on 6. I meant to say they'll bring her to 6. She's still in surgery. Dr. Campo's in charge. Good. Thanks. She zipped straight for the elevators. Still in surgery. Damn it. It's not likely we're going to be able to interview her anytime soon, she said as they got on. We'll push on the nursing staff to give us a more detailed update. Go from there. The 6th-floor elevator opened into yet another lobby, smaller, but all spruced up for the holidays. It held a waiting area, vending, and a scattering of people sitting anxiously in miserable-looking chairs. The woman at the desk beamed a bright smile that dimmed when Eve badged her. I need data on Quigley, Natasha, a Dr. Campos operating on her. The Patient Privacy Act is trumped. Eve slapped her badge on the counter. Quigley is the victim of an assault. I have a suspect in custody who killed another woman and attempted to kill Quigley. I need her status and I need it now. I need to check your identification and the identifications of those with you. Once verified, I can pass you through to the nursing station. The head nurse, Janice Vick, would be able to give you the information available to her. Do it. While she did, Rourke wandered over to vending. He knew the preferences, and offered Peabody and McNabb fizzies, handed Eve a Pepsi. Before she could crack it open, the woman at the desk shifted back. You're verified. Straight through the double doors. They buzzed, clicked, slowly swung open. More decorations, brighter lights, and the sound of rubber soles padding on tile. Eve smelled hospital, a scent that always hit the center of her gut. Sickness, antiseptics, heavy cleaners, and a metallic underpinning she thought of as fear. She moved to the wide semicircle of counter where some of the staff, all wearing a variation of a bright-colored tunic she supposed was meant to be cheerful, worked on links or comps. Janice Vick. A woman on a comp held up a finger. She had brutally short, stone-gray hair with a snaking blue streak. Rising, she came around the counter. Lieutenant Dallas, you want the status of Natasha Quigley. She's still in surgery. That much I know. I can tell you there were some complications. Her BP dropped, and at one point her heart stopped. Dr. Campo found a second, smaller bleed. They were able to stabilize the patient while Dr. Campo closed the bleeds. While the patient has been downgraded to critical, the head surgical nurse reports the patient is, as I said, stabilized at this time. How much longer will she be in there? I can't tell you that. But from what I can gather, the surgery should be done within the hour. From there, the patient will be monitored in recovery.
It could be 2 hours or several hours before she's able to talk to you. What are her chances? You're not head nurse on the surgical floor for nothing, Eve pushed when Vic hesitated. You have a gauge. I can tell you the patient's lucky. Dr. Campo, in my opinion, is the best neurosurgeon we have. With her performing the surgery, I'd give the patient strong odds. If you give me your contact information, I can see you're notified when she's in recovery. The best she'd get, Eve determined. They couldn't wait hours to move on the rest.
You want to start on Copley, Peabody said as they rode down to the lobby again. I can do the notification. I can handle it, she added when Eve glanced at her. You can be working on Copley while we, McNabb and me, head to Brooklyn. Take care of that.
Eve cracked the soft drink tube, considered it. It'll save time. I'll take the first pass at him while you notify next of kin. If I don't crack him, first pass, we'll try for Quigley again. Take him on together. You need to get the mother and have her pull in the sister so you can work her. Get them to tell you anything, I mean anything, the Vic might have said about Ziegler, about Copley, Quigley. Get a sense of the connections. Everything plays now.
I know.
Do you want transpo?
Be nice, Peabody said, then sighed. But the subway's probably quicker.
Contact me once you have it done, Eve ordered, and parted ways. I don't like dumping the notification on her. She'll carry it longer than I would.
I doubt that, Rourke said. You carry them all.
Claiming otherwise would be a lie, she admitted, and why bother? I'll waste my time saying this again, but you could go home. It's never less than entertaining watching you interrogate a suspect. Whatever floats. She pulled out her link as he drove. Contacted Mira. Sorry to disturb you at home, she began, but you said you were interested in observing when I had Copley in the box. After making arrangements with Mira, she contacted Central to make certain Copley was where she wanted him. Interview B, she said when Rourke drove into Central's garage. Rio's heading in. He used his one contact for his lawyer. Didn't use it to check on his wife.
The lawyer's with him, making lawyerly noises.
One expects no less.
Eve eyed the elevator with distrust, but got on. The last time I was on this, drunk Santa let loose a nuclear fart while showing me his grimy little dick. You lead such a colorful life. I'm pretty sure he puked right after I got off, because I heard they had to shut down this car for 2 hours. She sniffed cautiously. You can still sort of smell the detox. We can hope this ride proves less eventful. As it did, she peeled off straight to her office. I'm going to put a file together. DB, the first on-scenes record of Quigley, the scene itself, the 911. On Ziegler, second file. I may hold that back, depending. He doesn't know his wife's status, and I can use that. His lawyer can't access it. Patient Privacy Act, so they don't know I haven't interviewed her.
You'll lie.
Fortunately, I can lie my ass off. She checked the time. He's had a good long sweat. The lawyers told him to keep it zipped, but he won't. He's excitable. Rourke looked over at her. You'll use that.
Damn straight.
He doesn't know what the hell's going on regarding Quigley. He'll have a story, though, and he'll want to tell it. And lawyer or not, you'll make sure he does. That's the plan.
She picked up the files. If you get bored in observation, I'll find you. If you want to go home, just go.
He put his hands on her shoulders, kissed her. I'll be here. Armed with her files,
She walked to interview B and went in. Dallas, Lieutenant Eve, entering interview with Copley John Jake regarding case files H-28901 and H-28902. Mr. Copley has exercised his right to legal representation. Edie McAllister with Silbert, Crosby, and McAllister representing Mr. Copley. So noted. As Mr. Copley's legal counsel, I demand his immediate release. She clipped the words out, all confident, outraged lawyer. He's been held here for nearly 3 hours. He's been prevented from accompanying his injured wife to the hospital. He's been prevented from contacting the hospital to learn his wife's condition. This extreme hardship is... You are aware evidence strongly indicates Mr. Copley is responsible for his wife's injuries. That's a lie! Copley banged his fist on the table, rattling the chains that secured him. J.J.? The lawyer, a swirly-haired blonde in potent red, laid a hand on his. You have no tangible evidence, and, in fact, have Mr. Copley's own account that he found his wife unconscious. We strongly believe, and evidence will show, that Katiana Dubois assaulted Ms. Quigley, was killed during the struggle. If you're thinking of that as your opening statement at the trial, it's not going to get you far. Katiana Dubois came to your residence, your own security disc clearly shows this, and shows she was upset at this time. You let her in, you argued. You've got an impressive temper, Copley, which I can testify to personally. You pushed her, she fell, striking her head on the edge of the marble hearth in your living area. I never touched her. I barely know her. I never saw her. You didn't see this? Eve took the crime scene photo of Katiana from the file, tossed it on the table. In your living area. He glanced down at the file photo, quickly away again. I meant I didn't see her before. I didn't let her in. I was upstairs. Natasha must have let her in. And, according to your fairy tale, Katiana subsequently attacked your wife. Why? How the hell do I know? Mr. Copley is unaware of any friction between his wife and the deceased. McAllister spoke firmly, working to focus Eve's attention on her and away from her client. However, in her capacity as social secretary for Ms. Quigley's sister, the deceased often inserted herself in personal affairs. How did she do that? Ignoring the lawyer, Eve spoke to Copley directly. I thought you barely knew her. Which is it, Copley?
You barely knew her, or she stuck her nose in your business?
I didn't pay any attention to her. She dealt with Tella's social stuff, with women's business. Define women's business. Parties, shopping, lunches. He shrugged it off. Garden clubs and whatever women do. Eve smiled toothily at McAllister. Is that your business? Parties and lunches? Is that how you got your name on the letterhead, going to garden clubs? Obviously, my client means the victim handled his sister-in-law's social calendar. I think we both know what he meant, and that he's a misogynistic asshole, but we'll let that slide for now. Were you aware of any tension between your wife and the deceased? No. I don't get into that sort of thing. But she attacked Tosh. It's obvious. Contrarily, it's impossible. Eve took out another photo. As you see, there are 10 feet 4 inches between the deceased's body and Ms. Quigley's. Just how did Katiana Dubois manage to bash your wife over the head with this lead crystal vase while she was dead 10 feet 4 inches away? Don't be stupid. Copley snapped, even as his lawyer ordered him to stay quiet. That bitch attacked Tosh. Tosh fought back. The bitch fell, hit her head. Clear self-defense. Then Tosh tried to get out, get to me, and only made it that far. Let's have some fun with that. You're already seeing it, she said conversationally to McAllister. Katiana attacks your wife,
smacks her upside the head with this vase, the vase that's here, cracked and bloody, on the floor right beside your wife's unconscious body. Then, somehow, with a fractured skull, with a brain bleed, your wife manages to struggle with the deceased, drive her across the room where she conveniently falls and kills herself on the hearth. Then, in this miracle of physical determination, your wife gets back across the room, neatly hits the mark where she was attacked, and drops. She's a strong woman. Her neurosurgeon agrees with you. She also says your creative scenario is impossible. Our reconstruction will back that up. Eyes on him, Eve leaned back, kept her voice, her body language, almost casual. You argued with Katiana. You shoved her, like you shoved your golf buddy, Van Sedgwick, at your country club. That's ridiculous. That's a lie. He slipped. I never...
Only you don't have a handy water trap in your living area, so this shove resulted in Katiana Dubois's fall, in her death.
Eve angled forward, just a little, hardened her tone, just a little. Where did you go after? Did you panic? Run off, trying to figure out how to cover it up? An accident. It had to look like an accident. She built the edge. Harder, stronger, tapping her fingers faster, faster on the crime scene photo. But when you came back in the room, Natasha had come in, had seen. She's in the way, damn it! You had to get her out of the way, to shut her up, just shut her up! So you picked up the vase, charged at her. I was upstairs! He shoved up, shook the table. I heard Tosh scream, and I ran down to help her. She's my wife, you ignorant cunt! J.J., stop! Sit down and stop. My client has nothing more to say at this time. Fine. Let's hear what Natasha Quigley has to say. Eve set the mini-recorder with its copy of the 911 call on the table. Ordered on.
She's dead. I think she's dead. Oh, my God, Kate! It's... Wait, please... Oh, God, this is Natasha Quigley at 18 Van Damme. I need to report a... J.J., oh, J.J., something terrible happened. J.J., what are you doing? J.J., stop! Stop! Don't!
Copley stared at the recorder, mouth agape. You were too enraged to hear her. Eve tapped the recorder. Too caught up to think. It was act. Act now. That's a fake. It's a fake. She was on the floor when I ran in. There must have been someone else there. Someone else must have been there. Maybe he looked like me. She was upset. She wasn't talking to me. She was calling for me so I'd come help her. Maybe you need to hear it again. Eve replayed, letting it run under Copley's increasingly hysterical rants. You're doing this. It's you! It's you! You have it in for me. I knew it the minute you came into that meeting. You're trying to frame me. Someone else was there. I was upstairs. J.J., we're done, McAllister said, all but physically holding him down in the chair. Not another word, do you hear me? Maybe it was more than rage, more than panic. Maybe you saw your chance. Kill her? Kill them both. Make it seem like they fought. It clears the path for you and Felicity. I didn't. How do you know? It was you. You're the reason Felicity moved out. You're the reason she won't answer her link. You bitch. I could kill you. No handy blunt object. Like Copley, Eve surged to her feet. She leaned in, leaned hard. Ziegler knew. Blackmailed you. And it's never enough. It would never stop. You made it stop. Taught that ungrateful bastard a lesson. Katiana knew. Wouldn't listen to reason. You lost your temper. Shoved her. Then it's Natasha. It's time to finish it. Just finish it. So you fractured her skull. You thought you'd finished it. Would have finished it. But the cops at the door so fast. Too fast. She kept going. Raising her voice over his rants, his lawyer's shouts. Girl cop at your door, stupid cunt! What the hell does she know? But she gets in your way. She won't do what you tell her to do. You have to make your best pitch. It's how you make your living. But it won't work, Copley. It's all right here. She slapped her hand on the file. It's all right here. Ziegler. She dug out the crime scene photo. Katiana. Slapped hers beside it. Natasha. Added the last. But you left Natasha breathing. And she's gonna bury you. His face glowed red. His eyes literally bulged. Eve half expected him to just explode, spewing flesh, brains, and fury all over the room. Instead, he collapsed, wheezing, with sweat slicking those bright red cheeks. "Get a medic," McAllister ordered, and leaped to kneel beside him. Eve glanced toward the two-way glass, turned to the door, wrenched it open. In seconds, Mira rushed in. "I'm a doctor. Lieutenant, some water?" "Shit." "Mira, Dr. Charlotte, entering interview to treat suspect. Dallas, exiting interview for..." She broke off, took the bottle of water Rourke offered from the doorway. "Correction, Dallas remaining in interview." She cracked the water open, offered it to Mira. "Slow your breathing, Mr. Copley. Look at me now. You're having an anxiety attack. Slow your breathing. Sip some of this." "Can't breathe," he wheezed, staring out with eyes the size of moons. "Can't." "Slowly. You need to take slow breaths. Lieutenant, send for a medic." "Already done," Rourke told Eve when she reached for her comm. "We're going to get you some oxygen, Mr. Copley. That will help. We're going to help you and take you to the infirmary." "His heart," McAllister began. "We'll run all necessary tests, but this is a severe anxiety attack."
"Dying! Just..."
"You're not dying," Mira said calmly. "Look at me, Mr. Copley. Look at me. I'm Dr. Mira. I want you to look at me. Hear my voice." She signaled for the med kit when the medic ran in. "Get his BP," she murmured as she took out the oxygen mask, activated it. "I'm going to put this over your nose and mouth. Look at me, JJ. I want you to take slow breaths once I do. Slowly." 210/110, Doc. Benzodiazepine in the kit. Let's wait a minute. JJ, I know your chest hurts. It's difficult to get a breath. It will pass. Take those breaths. Slow. That's good. Very good. You're going to feel some relief in a moment. Breathe in. Let's transport him down to the infirmary.
Will do. BP 190/90. It's leveling down.
No one talks to him outside of my presence.
Get a grip, McAllister, Eve advised.
You badgered him into a heart attack. Don't tell me to get a grip.
Ms. McAllister, is it?
In that same calm tone, Mira shut the lawyer down. Your client hasn't had a cardiac incident, but an anxiety attack, which is passing. We will, of course, examine, test, and treat him.
I want him taken to the hospital immediately and examined by his own physician.
Not gonna happen, Eve countered, unless Dr. Mira deems it necessary.
Out here, she ordered when McAllister started to protest.
She stepped out, moved several feet away from the room.
Look, you and I both know the record will show he worked himself up into a rage that turned into a panic attack. Fricking apoplectic. Medical assistance was speedy, and medical treatment will continue, but he gets it in my house.
I'll get a court order for his transfer to an outside medical facility.
Try it. Go ahead. The record and Mira's rep will hold. I'm taking him down for 2 murders and an attempted. I've got him cold, and his own wife's adding the ice.
He had a fucking panic attack. She's been on the table getting her brain put back together for the last few hours, so don't try to twist it.
You will not speak to him again without medical clearance.
Eve shrugged.
I'll wait.
Eve angled her head. The other 2 partners are men, right?
I don't see how that's relevant.
and out of town for the holidays, unavailable tonight in any case. Otherwise, he wouldn't have you as his legal rep on this. He doesn't respect you. You and I both know it. He'll use you until one of the male types gets here, but you're a placeholder to him. You're insulting.
Me?
Eve watched another medical hustle a gurney toward Interview B.
You've got a strange way of defining insulting. Eve waited until they'd wheeled him out, with McAllister striding alongside the gurney like a guard dog. Mira stepped to Eve.
I'll go oversee the tests, but I'm confident he suffered a panic attack. His BP is in the safe range now, and he's breathing normally.
Sorry to mess up your evening.
Not at all. It's part of the job, isn't it? You won't be able to continue the interview tonight. I couldn't approve it medically, and his lawyer will certainly do what she can to block it in any case.
Figured.
It was real. The panic attack. And that's something to consider. His reaction to the extreme stress was both physical and emotional. Ziegler's killer didn't panic.
Killing doesn't upset him as much as being pinned for it does. But it left a little hole she'd need to fill in. He was trapped in there, with me, with the evidence, with the truth. He couldn't handle it.
It's certainly possible. I'll review his medical history to determine if he's experienced these attacks before or been treated for them.
Mira let out a breath of her own.
He's an ugly little man, isn't he? Still, I'll treat him to the best of my capabilities, and unless the tests prove me wrong, he'll be clear for you to interview tomorrow. I'll send you a report.
Thanks. Eve stood where she was a moment as Mira walked toward the glide.
Fuck.
I want coffee.
I could do with some myself,
Rourke told her, went with her to her office.
I had him. I would have had him. She fisted her hand.
He wasn't listening to the lawyer, the girl lawyer. Tripping himself up with this story, then another. Somebody else in there who looked like him? I mean, Jesus!
She dropped down at her desk, drank coffee, scowled.
Panic attack. His eyes actually bulged out of his head. More like a temper tantrum, all respect to Mira. He wanted to go at me. If he'd had a weapon, he'd have used it.
She pushed up, paced the small office, while Rourke sat with his coffee in her miserable visitor's chair.
He couldn't get that release, so he had the attack.
Maybe.
Maybe. He couldn't release the rage in any way, so his body went whack. I should have asked Mira about that, for the medical psych terms for that.
I can only agree with Mira. He's an ugly little man.
How do ugly little men get laid the way he apparently did? Eve wondered.
I'm going to contact Felicity, who apparently had the good sense to break it off, and I want to talk to the Schuberts and check in with Morris.
No point in reminding me I can go home. I have an excellent memory.
I'm with you, for the fun and fascination.
Your choice. I'm going to call Peabody off, then. No need for her to come in. We'll hit Copley together tomorrow. Maybe her soft pedal will keep him from going purple and flopping on the floor like a fish.
She pulled out her link. It signaled in her hand.
Dallas.
Nurse Vic, Lieutenant. Dr. Campo authorized me to tell you Ms. Quigley is out of surgery. Her condition has been upgraded to serious, but stable. The patient requires rest and quiet for the next several hours. If you check in the morning, after 8, Dr. Campo will be available and can let you know if Ms. Quigley is up to speaking with you.
Fair enough. Thanks for letting me know. I'll be there tomorrow.
Eve clicked off.
There's good news. If I can get her statement, I can wrap Copley up in it.
Well,
She drained her coffee. Let's go ruin the Schubert's holidays. Whatever that asshole Copley thinks, Dubois was more to them than the one who handled Martella's woman business. You do better, as would I, with something more than popcorn in the system. Maybe. She fell into step with him. We could grab a slice after the morgue. He took her hand. See what I meant about fun and fascination? How many people could say just that? All the many people who are cops. He laughed a little. She had him there. Chapter 20. A giggling Martella opened the door before Eve buzzed. Both she and Lance Schubert wore coats and scarves, and both had sparkles in their eyes. Eve recognized the sparkle. While obviously on their way out the door, the couple had enjoyed a little pre-departure sex. "Oh, Lieutenant, you just caught us." Martella slipped her hand into her husband's. "We're ridiculously late." "I'm sorry. We need to speak with you." "Can it wait until tomorrow?" Schubert asked. "We should have left nearly an hour ago." Martella didn't quite manage to stifle a fresh giggle as she sent her husband another sparkling look. "So rude." "I'm afraid it can't wait. It would be best if we go inside, sit down." "Oh, well, another few minutes can't matter that much." As she stepped back to let them in, Martella's gaze shifted from Eve to Rourke. "It's Rourke, isn't it? It's nice to meet you. Martella Schubert." She offered a hand. "My husband, Lance." "I suppose this is some sort of official business. We can't offer you a drink?" Lance led the way into the living area where he turned up the lights. "No, but thank you." Rourke waited, as Eve did, while Martella slipped out of a silvery fur coat, tossed it aside. Beneath, she wore a hot blue cocktail dress with ice-white diamonds. Schubert didn't bother to remove his coat, but sat with his wife. "If this is about Ziegler," he began, "I don't know what else we can tell you. I won't say I'm sorry he's dead." "Lance, there's no point in pretense, Tella. As far as I'm concerned, he got what he deserved." "You've got a job to do," he said to Eve. "But we have our lives to live." "We're not here about Trey Ziegler. Not directly. I have difficult news. The most difficult, and best done quickly. I regret to inform you that Katiana Dubois was killed earlier this evening. I'm very sorry for your loss."
"What? No!"
Martella grabbed her husband's hand.
"That's a terrible thing to say! Kate's on a date with Stephen."
"She was killed, and your sister injured tonight at the Van Damme residence. John Jake Copley is in custody, charged with her murder and the attack on your sister."
"Tasha's hurt? No, no!"
Color high, breath quick, Martella pushed to her feet.
"You've got something horribly mixed up. I spoke with Tasha this afternoon."
"Tella." Schubert rose, put an arm around her, but his eyes stayed on Eve's. "What happened?"
"But she's wrong!"
"Tella," Schubert said again, gently, as he drew his wife back down to the sofa. "What happened, please?" "Ms. Dubois went to the Quigley Copley residence. We believe subsequently a confrontation between her and Copley ensued, during which she fell, struck her head on the marble hearth, and was killed."
"No, no, no!"
"Could I get you some water, Miss Schubert?" Schubert looked at Rourke. "We've given the staff the evening off, if you wouldn't mind. The kitchen..."
"I'll find it."
"I am sorry," he said to Martella.
"JJ wouldn't hurt Kate," Martella insisted, but tears streamed down her face. "Why would he do that? And Tash? She's hurt? Where is she? I need to go to her."
"She was taken to the hospital, is under medical care. I'll give you the details, but at the moment she's sedated.
Please, I have to go to her. She needs me.
When we're done here, I'll arrange your transportation. I've spoken to the medicals personally. She's stable.
JJ wouldn't hurt her. He'd never... Lance, tell her.
I don't understand it. I played golf with JJ today. We got back around 6. He had an exceptional round. Wasn't upset, wasn't angry. Why do you think he did this? It doesn't make sense.
Ms. Quigley called 911. On the record, she can be heard shouting your brother-in-law's name, pleading with him to stop, before the link was dropped and damaged. An officer arrived on scene within minutes. Copley was alone in the house.
Someone broke in. There's no sign of break-in,
Eve interrupted Schubert, as Rourke came back with a tall, clear glass of water. The security cam shows Ms. Dubois' arrival.
The time stamp of her entrance into the residence is approximately 10 minutes before her time of death.
She can't be dead. Oh, Lance, not Kate. Not our Kate.
It still doesn't make sense. JJ and Kate rarely interacted. Why would anyone think he...
Schubert stiffened. Ziegler. It all goes back to Ziegler. I know this is hard, but there are questions I have to ask.
Is it my fault? Is this my fault because I let him come here? I had sex with him?
You didn't have sex with him, Ms. Schubert, Eve corrected. Ziegler drugged you and he raped you. That's not sex. And the person who killed Katiana and attacked your sister is at fault. No one else. Did you know Katiana intended to go to your sister's home this evening?
No, no. I thought she was going home to get ready for her date. I don't know why she went there.
You said she and Copley rarely interacted. Was there friction?
Not friction.
Schubert rose to shrug out of his coat, laid it over his wife's.
JJ can be a dick with women, especially those he views as subordinates. But that sort of thing rolls off of Katiana's back. I apologized to her more than once, but she'd just laugh it off. Apologized for what?
Oh, he'd tell her to get him a drink as if she were waitstaff. It wasn't so much what he said, but the tone, master to servant. I've spoken to him about it a number of times, and he feigns ignorance. Since Kate could laugh it off, I let it go rather than stir up family conflict.
She didn't like him.
She never actually said so, Martella said thickly. She never would, but she didn't.
She's family too, Lance.
I know, Tella, I know. You don't like him either, Eve observed. Either of you.
He's family, Schubert said simply, as his wife wept quietly on his shoulder.
You don't get to choose. Tella and Tosh are close. He's Tosh's husband. I might consider him a bit of a dick, as I said, but I can't conceive of him doing any of this. You think he killed Ziegler, too?
Rather than answer, Eve changed tacks. You and Katiana must have talked about Ziegler. What he'd done, his murder. And now that it's come out your sister and he had an intimate arrangement, you must have talked about that.
We were surprised, all of us, Schubert confirmed, but then... He's her type.
Oh, Lance, I'm sorry, sweetheart, but good-looking users seem to be Tosh's type.
Did the three of you talk about that situation today?
Actually, I didn't really talk to Kate today. Just in passing, as she was getting ready to go, as I got back from Florida.
We did. Kate and I did.
Struggling with tears, Martella burrowed closer to her husband.
I was a little angry that Tosh hadn't told me, even when she knew how horrible I felt when I thought I'd cheated on Lance. I told Kate,
and she calmed me down. She does that. She did. Oh, God.
I'm going to get you some brandy. Schubert kissed her temple before he rose. You and Katiana talked about the situation, Eve prompted.
We did. It was all so sordid, really. What happened to me? Kate and Lance, they've both been so supportive, and Tosh, too. So I was upset when Tosh finally told me she'd had an affair with Trey, and that JJ was having one with some stripper. I can understand, really, I can, how Tosh would turn to Trey. A kind of revenge, I guess. So Katiana knew the details. I told her. She was like my sister, too. She's family. Her poor mom. Oh, Lance, her mother.
We'll be there for her. He handed Martella a snifter, swirled his own. Katiana would never insert herself in Tasha's marital business. Never. Was she invited to the party at the Quigley-Copley residence the night Ziegler was killed?
Yes. Well, more, really. Tosh asked her to help out with the prep. Kate's a whiz with party preparations, so she was over there a good part of the day. Family, she repeated. Tosh and Kate were good friends, were close. She must have gone there tonight to talk to Tosh about something. I don't know. I can't imagine the rest. I just can't. It doesn't seem real.
You knew about your sister-in-law's relationship with Ziegler, she said to Schubert. I just found out.
And Copley?
To your knowledge, when did he learn about it?
I don't know. I don't know if he knew or not. He certainly didn't tell me, or show any signs of it.